To remind all participants, this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you, Kelly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metrics and Reporting Worker Group call on Wednesday, 4th December. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langdon-Orr, Pam Little, Mikey O'Connor, Tony Odorato, Jennifer Wolfe. We have from staff Barry Cobb and myself, Julia Charvelaine, and we have no apologies for this call so far. May I please remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and then over to you.
Thanks, Julia, and thanks, Kelly, my buddy Kelly from Verizon. It's great to have old friends on the call. This is Mikey. We'll run through the usual deal where we check statements of interest. We don't really need to do that on a drafting team call, but we'll do it anyway. And then also, the agenda is pretty short. We're going to fly through the slide deck that I sort of haplessly pitched in Buenos Aires, and then mostly focus in on the draft charter that Barry so kindly put together for us. So anything on statements of interest or the agenda that people want to raise at this point? Okay. On your screen is a slide deck, and I'm going to just turn the pages very fast, that talks about what we are the drafting team for. This is pretty much a review, and so I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, except to say that we had a pretty lively discussion with the GNSO Council, in which especially Councillor Jeff Newman was very curious about sort of how we got from the origins of this project in the Registration Abuse Policies report to this state of affairs. And I can't say that I did a terrific job of drawing that picture for him, and that's gone into our thinking in this draft charter a little bit, just to sort of trace those steps a little bit more clearly than I did. And I think Barry's done a pretty good job there. So you can see that this is basically a one-pager, and I think that's really all I want to say about this. If you could do me a favor, Barry, and flip the draft charter that you put together into the Adobe room for a minute, I think I really want to focus us on that today. And it may not be reasonable, but our thought is that we may be able to get this done by the next call. We'll see how we do today. And so I'm just very quickly going to take the first section is very mechanical. There's almost nothing in there to review. The section I really want to spend time on is this section 2. I think I'm going to take command for a minute and this a little bit bigger. Now leaving you, I'll hold on to command for a minute. So I just want to walk you through what we've got so far and see what you all think, and see, and then engage you in about 10 minutes after I get through this quick review. I want to engage you in how we can flesh this out a little bit if it needs to be. So the background section I normally don't pay a lot of attention to. It's usually pretty straightforward. But on this one, the genesis of this project was a little tricky, and the path to today was a little tricky. So I'm going to spend a little more time on that than normal. And start out with that first sentence that says, look, the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group zeroed in on this need for uniformity in the mechanisms to initiate, track, and analyze policy violation reports. That was an observation of the working group. But then the working group went in the next sentence and recommended that this project get underway to create and support uniform reporting processes. And that was the first of several steps from the place that Jeff recalled to where we are now, is that what we said was, and a little bit further background, and maybe something we want to stick into this background, Barry, as I think about it, is one of the things that the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group came up with was a notion that there were some meta issues that were broader than the things that are typically handled in a PDP, and that the GNSO would probably be well advised to learn how to handle discussions about issues like that. And this was one of those. And so we're sort of feeling our way through a different kind of process than normal for the GNSO. And I think that's another thing we may want to touch on in here. Then the next paragraph, or sentence, the third sentence is, the GNSO, in collaboration with the community, deliberated all this, and gathered a bunch of information which ultimately resulted in an issue report that, again, slightly moved the ball. The key part of that sentence is further research metrics and reporting needs in hopes to better aid the policy development process. So that's another small step away from that original RAP report. Then the staff created a report and described some of those accomplishments and did some research. And in May last year, the GNSO Council approved that report's recommendation to wait a little while, primarily because contractual compliance is in what is now the final stages of their three-year plan. And the thinking was that that might be a good event to wait for, and then that the GNSO Council would consider what to do after that. So meanwhile, the Council also adopted this recommendation to form us, or at least the non-PDP working group that we're writing the charter for. And again, things changed just a little bit. We are tasked with exploring opportunities of reporting and metrics recommendations that, again, could inform policy development via fact-based decision-making where applicable. And so that's how those were the steps that took us to here. I just wanted to read through those with you, partly as practice for the next time I have to pitch this report. Because I'm going to have to do it again. And unfortunately, Jeff has gotten very busy and has dropped off the council, so I wouldn't be at all surprised to find him in the meeting when I pitch this, but he won't be on the council. So yeah, I'm sure he'll still be there to keep me honest. Barry, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. Just to kind of tag on to what you were mentioning at the bottom of the first paragraph about the issue report, is in between the RAPWG recommendation and the council passing the issue report, There was an alumni group report that was created, and you had mentioned about change from the original RAPWDG recommendation, but what was noted in the alumni group, which I think is what is very crucial to how we've gotten to where we're at, was taking note of the reference back to the AOC and specific language pointing to, you know, more fact-based policy decision making as it's listed in the AOC. So essentially what we tried to do with the issue report was expand upon, you know, that primary notion. Thank you.
Let's slide that thought into this, because I totally forgot about that, and I wrote that alumni report. Shows how much you can rely on my memory. But that's a really important link in the chain. Thanks, Barry. Pam, go ahead.
Thank you, Mikey. Sorry, that page is gone. Did I just lose that page?
No, Barry just disappeared it.
That's okay. So I can read the Word document. The first paragraph on the background, the last sentence of the first paragraph says, the report created by ICANN staff further outlined accomplishments regarding reporting and metrics for the contractual compliance function. I'm not sure whether that is intended to mean as what I read, because there's no reporting and metrics for the contractual compliance function. These, to me, there was a reporting or metrics available from contractual compliance. It's data they have been collecting. So it's not a measure of the contractual compliance function, but it's the data and metrics they are collecting. So my question is whether it's for should be, the word for should be replaced as the word from. And the other thing is this notion about contractual compliance, the three-year plan. I'm not sure whether we understand exactly what will be the deliverables at the end of that three-year plan. Contractual compliance currently just collect data, you know, all sorts of data reported by third parties in terms of a potential alleged violation of contracts. This could be about registry or mostly registrars related. And so is that the three-year plan, or what three-year plan are we talking about? I also understand or know contractual compliance has a three-year audit plan where they audit certain obligations under the registrar or registry agreement. So is that that three-year plan, the audit plan, would not complete till 2015, not the end of 2013? So there seem to be some timing issue here as to what data contractual compliance is collecting, and have we as a drafting team or GNS Council actually critique or look at what data they actually is collecting and will make available to the drafting team or working group in the future at the end of that so-called three-year, which is the end of 2013 or 2015, not clear to me. That's all.
Thanks,
I have.
Pam. Let's take what I think are two thoughts primarily in chunks. I think the first issue you raised is the issue, the changing of the wording, which, let me get that draft to the right.
The last sentence of the first paragraph. In the first paragraph under background.
Yeah, there we go. And I would think that either from or by would be better replacements. I agree with you. I don't think that the intent was ever to zero in on metrics aimed at the performance of contractual compliance. It was metrics that could be used in policymaking. And so, Barry, I'd view that as a friendly amendment if you do. Are you tracking what we're talking about here?
Yes, I'm taking notes in the current draft.
Yeah, okay. So from would work for me, by would work for me. Pam suggested another word which I didn't grab, but any of those that sort of shift the focus of that sentence is fine. Now, on to the more substantive. Well, that was substantive, but the other one is, let's take a look at this three-year plan language a little bit. Let's see, where is it?
It's at the beginning of the second paragraph, so the conclusion, until the conclusion of their three-year plan towards the end of 2013.
Oh, yeah. Yep, there we go. Barry, can you fill us in a bit on sort of where that came from and your thoughts on that? Because I think Pam's question made sense to me, but I don't know the answer.
Right. This is Barry. So I think essentially, and Pam, you may recall some of this, but either shortly after she started or maybe a year into it, Maggie had put together a three-year plan, which essentially I think started at around the end of 2010, that is going to be concluding at the end of this year. And, you know, part of it was the three-step process by which to work different complaints that was received by contractual compliance, you know, mapping out the process to that. Other parts of their team had taken the next version. If you recall that the complaint system that was part of InterNIC, they migrated that to ICANN.org. They've also created a new database that allows for a much more robust tracking of the complaints that are better categorized, all of which is documented in the issue report. So I think sections 4.1 through 4.4 outline what they've accomplished to that point. And the reason for why this first part of the recommendation that initiated this effort is that in, when we were writing the issue report and collaborating with Maggie, she had stated that they haven't completed their entire three-year plan. They suspect that it's supposed to occur by the end of this year. And so essentially the council will be awaiting for the flag notifying us that they finished their plan. And essentially how to satisfy that first recommendation is that they'll come to the GNSO Council, explain what they've done over the last 3 years to get us to the point of where we're at now, most of which I think has satisfied a lot of the original intent of the RAPWG recommendation, is that, you know, at that time we just didn't have any clear metrics at all from a compliance standpoint. Whereas now, with what they've built up to now with the process, the database, even with some of the front-end metrics, most of that has been satisfied. So, you know, I think to close out that first recommendation, again, they'll come to the GNSO Council, brief them on what they've done, and maybe where they plan to go over the next couple of years. But for the most part, I think from any future working group perspective, if there was an IRTP Part F, for example, I know that irks
you're
might
hurting me, Barry. You're hurting me.
But if there's a future PDP that's, you know, that surrounds certain types of abuse metrics or complaints that ICANN monitors even through their audit program as well, we have a much greater capability of getting access to more meaningful metrics in that regard. And so that's the idea of the three-year plan that's listed there in the first sentence of paragraph 2.
So, Pam, does that align with your understanding of the three-year planning cycle? Now that varies.
It is and it is not. What I was going about this thing is just really, I read the transcript from the interaction with the GNSO Council during Buenos Aires and Jeff Newman and others' comments. And unfortunately, my understanding is more kind of aligned with their understanding about this initiative, to be honest. So my question is this, what is the contractual compliance department now collecting? Do we know what they are collecting and what data and metrics will be available at that end of that 3-year plan, the end of 2013. And the other question is, because this that is sort of a data, but I don't think they are abuse related. They basically just collecting all sorts of information or complaints any general public submit to ICANN. So my question is, do we need to know or look at what data they're actually collecting and whether that's really useful or what PDP, future PDP needed? Is there some gap, missing data we need to collect from other parties rather than contractual compliance? Because I thought Jeff was driving this message that the whole thing is about getting data from ICANN staff. I mean, ICANN contractual compliance and maybe other functions as well. So that was my point, trying to make to connect the dots.
Let me take a try at that. I think that there's always a confusion to be found in the metrics evaluating the performance of contractual compliance. You know, how big's the backlog? How long do complaints take to get processed? Whatever metrics are used to evaluate that function. And at least in my mind, that's never been what this is about. I mean, I think that would be useful stuff, but from the standpoint of a person who makes policy, I'm much more interested in the metrics about the contracted parties that contractual compliance collects, the availability of that data, and, as you say, Pam, the gaps between that data and the data that's needed to make policy. And so let me set that one dichotomy out there and make sure that we're all in agreement that this isn't really about evaluating the performance of the contractual compliance function. And can we just draw a line under that and make sure that we're right on that one? Because if we are disagreeing on that, then we've got a little more work to do. We have to figure that out, too. So, Pam, are you okay if we don't include performance review of contractual compliance in the scope of this?
Totally agree. That's why I suggest a change of wording from for to from.
Yeah.
And
okay.
That's not a question at all. Yeah, that's totally in agreement.
All right. So then the second half of what I heard you just say is, I think, a pretty good summary of what we're about, which is to take a look at the data that contractual compliance has available now and find the gaps between that data and what policymakers may need. And so it may be that this first sentence then needs to be sharpened up just so we don't. I'm not sure, Barry, that we actually need that second half of that sentence.
Well, this is Barry. I mean, let's not get hung up on the background. You know, all of this was meant to just try to paint a path of how we got to this point.
Right. I think if we confuse people with our background, as we just did ourselves, we need to get that fixed. So what I'm suggesting is that the first two sentences could go away in this background. And then carry on with the story with the third sentence in there. Because that whole discussion does tend to get us into the weeds about the difference between evaluating contractual compliance and evaluating data for policy. So my suggestion there would be, let's just drop those first two sentences and carry on. Now, having done that, we got lots of hands up. Everybody okay with that? If you're okay with that approach, lower your hand and off we'll go. Okay. This is really the interesting bit that's come up here, which is the mission and scope. Let's just stay on that for now. And I think essentially just read it together. I'm gonna make it a little bit bigger. Let me know if I do anything to you that rolls it so that you can't see it.
I think you need to hit the sync button, Mikey.
Oh, I thought I had it synced. Okay. So now it's synced. Now I've got control, right? Right. And now I'll release it. No, maybe I won't. Now I can't unsync. I don't know what I did. There we go. Okay. So the four bullets start to get us to the essence of this charter, and this is the part that I really want us to zero in on, which is that we would come up with, not we, the working group, would come up with a set of principles that may complement any GNSO policy efforts related to metric data requirements to better inform the policy development process. I can see myself beginning to wordsmith this, so I'm just going to blast through these real quick. The next one is a process for requesting metrics and reports. And I think that there, again, what we want to do is add the clause, perhaps, that's a process for policymakers or the GNSO to, you know, the sentence needs an object, I think. We need a framework for getting that data to the working groups, the council, and the GNSO as a whole. And then we may need to see some process changes to the guidelines. Then we have a little mission that talks about how we would do this. We'd go out to the community, and so this is pretty straightforward PDP-style stuff. Part of the reason that we need to repeat all that is because this is a non-PDP working group, so we sort of have to tell the working group how to work. And then the recommendations would raise awareness, make data more available, make metrics and reporting more useful and understandable, take into account existing initiatives within ICANN, and this is essentially a nod to several other initiatives that are going on that this working group is going to have to coordinate, including the consumer trust one, and I think there's another one which I can't put my finger on at the moment. But anyway,
This is Jen. I'm sorry, I'm not on my computer, so I can't raise my hand. But the other one is the potential review of the GNSO, the self-review.
Yeah, I knew there was another one. Thanks, Jen. Way to go. And do that again. Jen is in her car driving, so she gets special permission to leap right in. And then finally, there's the notion that this would introduce continuous improvement principles into this metrics process. So I just want to stop there. This is a pretty meaty chunk of the recommendation, and I want to pause here and let the rest of you chime in on these. I'm fine with them in theory. I hesitate to wordsmith them on this call, but we can do that if you want. But does this, in general, align with what the rest of you think we should be doing, leaving wordsmithing aside for the moment? Because if it's close, then, you know, we're nearly done. If we've either missed some big piece of what you all were expecting this charter to instruct the working group to do, or if you think it's wrong, this is a good time to influence where this is going, because this is really the heart of the charter for them. I'm not seeing a lot of hands go up, which means that, Barry, you did good. You got, oh, there's some hands. Good, I flushed out hands. I love that. I think since Tony hasn't spoken yet, I'll let him go first. It was a virtual tie between Tony and Barry. Tony, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. It's Tony. I'm wondering about this, the first recommendation here, and the vagueness of raise awareness, and perhaps the or I should say ambiguity and vagueness of it, and of make data more available. Aren't we recommending? I guess first of all, I guess I'm not certain what raise awareness is supposed to relate to. So that's part one of my question. Part two of my question is, in making data more available, wouldn't the recommendation be better phrased if it focused on the fact that the recommendations are designed to outline? I hesitate to say processes because that might be pushing us too far, but protocols or parameters or processes for requesting data, with one of the assumptions being that more data would be more valuable. So I guess focusing on that second part, the question being whether or not the recommendation shouldn't be directed to more of a process-related focus.
Yeah, I'm going to amplify your question a little, Tony. I think one of the things that we need to wordsmith a bit on this, Barry, is, you know, answering the question for who or what in a lot of these. We're sort of missing an object. So, for example, just to take Tony's question about that first recommendation, raise awareness of what and who's going to be more aware and why are they going to care? And then the second clause, make data available to whom so that they can do what better? I think that's the kind of wordsmithing that kind of popped into my head. And with that, I'll throw it to you, Barry, and let you carry on.
Thank you, Mikey. This is Barry. I guess first and foremost, this little section is, you know, these aren't recommendations. They're expectations of future recommendations. Most of these were extracted from the mind map, so that's why I included them in here. I will agree that we do need to probably enhance this with who, what, and whom, and I tried to capture that a little bit lower under the working group task, number three, which, you know, maybe we need to revamp. But the last thing I'll close with is all of the wordsmithing up to this point has been staff, so which I don't think that we're technically supposed to really be doing. So that's why we need to really lean on the drafting team to come up with exactly what's going to shape the scope here. So I'll close with that.
This is like the professor who, or the student who writes a paper and purposely puts an error on page 40. Check to see whether the professor actually read it.
Well, Mikey, can I ask a follow-up here, which is, this is Tony again.
Sure, go ahead.
Couldn't we have the, it seems to me that the assumptions should precede the recommendations here, because it reads backwards to me. On the one hand, it would be clearer to me, I think, if the assumptions said things like the acquisition of more data, just sort of off the cuff here, would serve a valuable purpose, that data being of various sorts, the data being directed toward ends such as abuse monitoring. There is currently an inability to access certain data, so on and so forth, and very methodically kind of breaking down the assumptions which lead into the recommendations that, awareness of the lack of data or the inability to access certain data needs to be raised or ought to be raised, that greater availability of certain kinds of data would be beneficial to, and then as you said, to whom and for what. So maybe a structural change here to the document might help with thinking through the wordsmithing of the recommendations.
No, I like that idea. Because a lot of the, I think that's a good one. Because the assumptions are a little bit thinner than, in fact, I think they are. I think we've got a fair amount of ideas that we could put into those assumptions, sprinkle around in all these documents that we've got in front of us. And by resequencing it like that, then the punchline would be the mission. So here's the mission after you've laid all that groundwork.
Right.
Well, that's
one
good
final point, then I'll cede the floor. Because my understanding has increasingly become that our goal here is to not even so much to define the processes or the types of data, but to recommend that certain processes be implemented, to give a sort of a broad parameter to what kind of processes they would be, how they might be structured, and what kinds of data, I guess, might be solicited through those processes without getting into the specifics of it. So, anyway, I'll turn.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think one of the things that probably needs to be amplified a little bit here is the difference between actually getting into the metrics, specifying which kinds of data will be collected for what purpose, but rather putting processes in place so that the PDPs, as they complete, so for example, IRTPF, which Barry will be staff for, he said, getting even. One of the things that would be required of a PDP working group would be for the working group to specify the metrics by which the success of that policy would be measured. We sort of have a chicken and egg problem, and that is that it would be nice if all policies up till this time had those sections so that we would have good data for further policy making. But we don't. So one of the things that we have arrived at is to say, look, let's make sure that the metrics defining is built into the policy making process itself. The other part that kind of gets to the point that Pam made earlier is that there may be times when a policymaking process needs to request data, not just from compliance, but from other places as well. And so we also need to define the process by which a PDP does that. But again, to your point, Tony, in that view of what this working group would do, the working group wouldn't specify the exact kinds of data. It wouldn't say anything much about specific data that's either being collected now or in the future, but rather would be almost all process-focused as to how that data would be identified, collected, etc. And I think it's about that point in the discussion at the council meeting that I got into the weeds, and Jeff came right in and set me straight. So let's take that restructure as a friendly amendment. Barry, do you feel like you can take another pass through this, or are you sort of saying, look, you drafting team, it's time to start acting like a drafting team and actually touching this document, in which case I'd be willing to run through and do a draft, if that would be helpful.
This is Barry. I guess first and foremost, absolutely, I'm ready for the drafting team to take more of a pen on this. Especially given some of the history before this got formed. But secondarily, I'm going to, I'm okay with any kind of restructuring, and perhaps maybe what is confusing is the paragraph that precedes the recommendations are expected to, and maybe that should be part of that paragraph up above. But those four bullets are not recommendations. They are expectations on future recommendations that the working group will make, and it's specifically tied back to that last sentence that a final report with proposed recommendations will be delivered to the council. These recommendations are expected to boom, 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 boom. Now whether assumptions needs to precede any of the mission and scope part of it, absolutely, as well as perhaps getting more granular into the working group task, which is the next section, maybe some of those need to be floated up more generically into a mission and scope. Let me know which changes need to be made, and most certainly I will welcome any input from the drafting team.
Yeah, well, I'll take the pen for the next try. I'm happy to do that. It'll get me away from the cosmic issues that have been visited upon us by our CEO for a while. Let's take, in the last 15 minutes, I think we've only got a couple more sections. Let's just take a look at the tasks. Especially, I'm leaning on some of you who have done projects like this before. Now, what this is emerging to be is, if I were in a corporate setting, I would be saying, this is a project to define how metrics will be described, requested, processed, and built into policy. It's not, so it's a process definition project. It's not the work that kind of process would actually do, if that makes sense. And so as we run through these tasks, the first one's fairly mechanical. It's the work plan. The next one, number two, is take a look at prior work, PDPs and non-PDPs, to explore how metrics were gathered and used and so on. I think that it may be useful to insert a task somewhere in this list that says something like, describe a preliminary model of how we envision these processes would work, both at the beginning of a PDP, when the PDP is trying to determine whether it has the data and metrics that it needs to do its work, and also at the end of a PDP, the PDP is describing the metrics that will be used to measure success in the implementation of the policy. So one task we may want to add is some sort of modeling. And we might want to do that before task number two, so that then when we went to look at the previous PDPs, we could see whether they did any of the things differently and would give us ideas. Then clearly number three is figuring out how, what, why, where the data would be used in the front part. And then I think another piece is probably how the data is used on an ongoing basis after the PEP has been implemented, after the policy has been implemented. We might want to add that. I think by that time, number four, I think, could then go quite late in the work plan, because number five, it looks to me, gets to the point that Pam was raising earlier, which is external sources of metrics. And I think, you know, that needs maybe to go a little bit higher in the work plan. And then the last one, I don't know, that's sort of inside baseball. Coordinate and collaborate with contractual compliance to close out resolution number one of two that initiated this effort. Barry?
Again, there were two recommendations regarding this effort. The first is what the contractual compliance has done with their three-year plan, and they still owe the council resolution on that. The intent by this bullet was hopefully around the time this working group completes its work, it can dovetail back in with this first recommendation for contractual compliance, and it can all be delivered at once to the council. But the idea here is to not lose sight of the very first recommendation for the resolution that started this initiative, which is, again, we're waiting for contractual compliance to complete its three-year plan and report back to the council.
Okay, got it. All right, so that's the list as we have it today, and I've sort of nattered on a little bit about some things that I think I might add as I go through. For those of you who've done projects with metrics before, where you're trying to change the process by which an organization builds and uses metrics in its work, Are there some other tasks that strike you as missing at this point? Or is this close enough? If it's close enough, I'll go ahead and wordsmith it a bit. I don't want to belabor this, but I am feeling like this is a project that I've never done before, and so if somebody else has done this kind of a project before, I'd be really interested in hearing about things that make that kind of a project go better. Barry, is that a new hand or an old one?
Old.
Old, okay. All right, well, so I think we've got the sketch of a work plan that we can hammer on. And then the last two chunks are the objectives and goals and the deliverables and time frames. I think I'm going to skip through these really fast, because I think with the changes we're making higher in the document, we may change these just a little bit too. Pam, you've got a question in the chat, and then I see Cheryl's hand up. Pam is asking, complement should be complement with an E. Where did you see that one, Pam?
First bullet under mission and scope.
Under mission and scope.
I found it in the document and made the change.
Yeah, good deal. Okay, Cheryl, take it away.
Thank you, and I was prattling along when you were asking questions earlier, and was hoping when you didn't actually respond to me when I was being cheeky that I realized I was on mute.
Ah,
Having,
well, there you go.
I've muted myself, Mikey. I will now respond at least to your last question. The rest of it is lost in the sands of time. I think this is close enough for a draft, for a charter. I mean, and we are talking charter here, which is guiding outcomes. And there will be obviously some flexibility within the work group to embellish. So that was just my last attempt to intervene. I'll ignore all the other ones because they really aren't important anymore. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry that you were muted. Your interventions are often really helpful. Dang it. Oh, well. I think that I've got a pretty good... This is a good spot for me to grab the pen because I've got a pretty good sense of the flow of the document and some things that will, I think, help it a bit. And so I'll dig in, I think, probably tomorrow, and because the weather here is going to be dreadful, and really go through this. Barry, fear not if I hammer away on your document a lot. You've done a fabulous job and given us a great place to start. And as many of you know, Mikey's first edit is often a pretty exciting event. So let me take a crack at that. And to Tony's point, I do want to take one last checkpoint on this notion that we are going to I'm going to try and figure out a way in this revision to very clearly instruct the working group not to try and pick metrics on any topic. Because I think down that path lies madness. And I just want to make sure everybody's okay with that. Because I think, one way to think about this is to imagine that we're writing a document that will be useful for 20 or 30 years, or at least the working group is, and who knows what metrics will be needed 20 years from now, but what we want is a good process for the policymakers to acquire that data and build that data collection into the policy that they write. And I guess to that end, can anybody think of a model? You know, I was thinking of, at least in my local government, which I'm a lot more involved in than my national government, I can't even think of a model where a legislative body also includes metrics to measure the successful implementation of their legislation, which I think is essentially what we're heading towards. So if anybody can think of a model of that, that might be very helpful. Not necessarily now because we're at the end of the call, but this is kind of a new critter that we're working on. Enterprise boards of large IT shops. What's an enterprise board, Barry? Maybe that's it.
Barry, essentially, an enterprise board is responsible for dictating the technologies that are to be used. So, for example, company A needs a database solution. So they'll define what technology should be used to meet that requirement, such as maybe it'd be open source MySQL or the Microsoft platform. But what it's supposed to allow for is that the organization in a very large IT shop doesn't have five database solutions paying five different types of monthly fees for maintenance and licensing, et cetera, and they come up with one predefined policy that our database solution is going to be product X, and here's why, and here's how much it's going to cost, and then here's how you can use it through the environment. And the enterprise architecture board will then develop metrics on how that policy is being used. And I use the term policy loosely because obviously it's a function of job security, not true consensus building policy. But they'll utilize metrics on how they've defined that standard and how it's being used across the organization from a quantitative perspective, financial perspective, as well as qualitative as well.
I'll get to Cheryl in a second, but could you find an example of how they do that? That might be really interesting for us to take a look at, if you can, you know, not the whole shebang, but the part where they define those metrics.
I'll try to drum something
up. We might hand that on to the working group. Cheryl.
Thanks, Cheryl, for the record. Just following on from Barry, it struck me as I was listening to you, and unfortunately this is a defunct model, but that's not because the model was wrong, it was because politics is politics. It is actually in a local government environment, Mikey, so you might find that interesting. But within Australia, about 10 years ago, when Gender 21 organisations were quite far more prevalent, and ISO 14000 and Environmental Solutions was particularly keen to be pursued, aggregations of local government councils came together to act in a very similar way on unifying solution-based recommendations. So it was more than just buying grouping here. It wasn't just everyone's going to use the same, the same brand of paper in their photocopiers, and that would make it cheaper. It was a bigger picture type stuff, and that had metrics designed into it, obviously, to see whether or not the recommended solutions were actually achieving any of the outcomes. Now, unfortunately, these regional groupings, which particularly were working in waste management, interestingly enough, called regional waste boards, no longer exist. But I'm just saying that there are some models in that enviro world that at least were tried. I'm not faulting the model. It's just, they cost money and politics changed and it was no longer, flavour of the month. But they lasted for about 7 or 8 years, about 10 years back.
So here's a thought right at the top of the hour, and then we'll have to scoot. So I'll lay this on and then run away. Should we be thinking of metrics for the outcome of this working group? In other words, should we eat our own dog food?
Why not?
And then the question is, what would those metrics be? Ha ha ha, it's 1 minute after the hour, I gotta go.
Bad man, Mike.
Sorry.
That's for the working group.
Well, it's an interesting puzzle, because it may help us shape the charter that we give the working group, and it may also shape the work that the working group does, because I know that the one thing I know about metrics is that it's really easy to do them badly, and you get metrics that drive crazy behavior on the part of organizations. And so I've always been on the receiving end of bad metrics and repairing damage done by that. And so it would be interesting to hold ourselves and hold the working group to the same sort of standard. So there's a puzzle. I'll try and think through that as I do my drafting, but let the rest of you do that too. That's it. I think we can wrap this call up. Thanks, all. This time worked out really well, I think.
Mikey, just real quick. So next week's meeting will be at 1300 UTC, and if we should need a meeting after that, then the 18th will be back to whatever today's time was.
Right.
So just so you know. Thank you.
So how's 13 UTC for you Australians? Is that?
Oh, it's shit, but that's okay. We'll share it.
It's less bad. Is that sort of...
No, it's shit. And that is for the record. Cheryl for the record. It's shit.
Cheryl
song.
For the record. How would you spell that?
S-H-I-T.
All right, just checking.
Oh, yeah. You let us sign in on the call. This is what you'll get.
Yeah, okay. Part of the package. All right. Thanks, all.
Julia, can you make a note that I'll need a dial out at that ungodly hour? Absolutely. I suspect Pam might as well.
See if Julia's on the call. Julia, are you there?
She's in the room.
Oh,
so
there she is. Way to go, Julia.
Okay.
All right. I think we've got it covered. Tony's typing. Wait a minute. Tony's typing. Oh, he's not typing. Never mind. All right. Going once, Tony. You get your last chance before we wrap up. Aha. Uh-huh. Our first metric.
I'll read it out loud because I've logged out of the room now. Come on.
Oh, well, it just, you know, Tony just said, I think that's a metric, Cheryl.
Well, it can be measured, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah,
and then how deep?
Definitely.
How deep is the next question? Okay.
Careful, I have a son who actually did scatology at university as a course. I could really bore you with the ball.
Oh, my God. That's what happens when we get the Australians too frisky in the morning. Jeez Louise, look at where we're at. Okay, see you in a week,
thanks,
gang. This is great.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay.
Bye.
Have a great week. Okay.